Beautiful day like today, isn't it? Who's complaining about not enough heat a couple weeks ago? I think we're going to have plenty today, huh? Now, last week we saw a totally pagan society given over to a reprobate mind and judged by God. It ran a large metropolis with one righteous yet very compromising man. A carnal believer with no testimony to a pagan society, causing that pagan society to fall. A saved, just man with no testimony, whose only spiritual legacy was siring two nations that constantly vexed Israel through its whole history by an incestuous relationship with his daughters. A man who believed God, but desired the supposedly worldly benefits of a wicked society. This was a pagan town with only one believer who refused to reprove their wicked ways. Certainly, this couldn't happen in Christian America. Certainly, we have the light of God. Sodom and Gomorrah had no light. The only possible light they had was from Lot, who put his candle under a basket. Societies with such a light available by God's blessings could never get this dark. Today we look at what happens if a people called by God rejects that God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, seeking, with Lot's wife, to have the joys of a sinful society, to become a pillar of that society and turning into a pillar of salt. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:9, "And there is no new thing under the sun." After the flood, Genesis 8:21 shows God saying that the imagination of man's heart is only evil continuously. God judged man's sin with a flood. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. His ways have not changed. There is no new thing under the sun. If a society rejects God fully, that society will be judged. Claiming to be a people of God is no help. In fact, claiming to be a people of God while serving Satan is a sure way to get God's judgment. Let us look at a people of God now who turn from God and see how we today are following the exact same path and will suffer the same punishment. Turn to Judges, chapter 19, verses 17 to 30. So in Judges, chapter 19, starting at verse 17. "And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, 'Whither goest thou? And whence comest thou?' And he said unto him, 'We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence I am, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything.' And the old man said, 'Peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street.' So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses. And they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, 'Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him.' And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, 'Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing.' But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine, and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day, and fell down at the door of the man's house, where her lord was, until it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning, and opened the doors of the house, and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, 'Up, and let us be going, but none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him into his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her, together with her bones, into 12 pieces, and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. Dear Heavenly Father, we see what happens when a society turns their back on you, when we turn our back on your holy words, when we decide we don't longer need to live under your law, under your blessings, under your statutes. And Lord, your way is holy. We are to be holy. But when we refuse to, we end up following the ways of Satan. We end up being those men of Belial. Lord, that was a godly tribe, and a godly tribe turned its back on you, and we see the results. They were judged greatly, Lord, and we are being judged greatly now for falling into the same traps that they fell into. Let us see the wisdom of being a righteous man in unrighteous times. Let us see the wisdom of calling people from their sins that they may be gloriously saved, that they may become to the throne of grace, and that you will adopt them as sons of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And let us turn our back on those who would refuse your holy word. We ask in your precious Son's dear name, amen. So, this is the tribe of Benjamin. Had I read this quickly, and had you been only half listening, you would have assumed I was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah all over again, because there are so many ways that Sodom and Gomorrah is so similar to what happened in Benjamin. This was God's people, God's chosen race, living in the promised land that God gave them, enjoying the benefits of being God's people, having God's law written in their hearts. And yet this tribe, chosen by God, had the exact vile demands as evil, pagan, godless Sodom and Gomorrah. But they ended up doing even worse. There was no angel to repel this attack. There was no righteous man there that the angels could come and deliver from this place. Nobody in this society was vexed by that evil. Only one angry Levite after it happened, which led to Benjamin's judgment. This Levite was a man of God in name only. Going to the house of God, he was a man of God who denied the very power of God. He was a blind leader of the blind, leading a spiritually blind people, and both of them would end up in the ditch of God's judgment. A man of God hearkening to fleshly evils. A man of God worshiping idols with all the other priests at the time who did the exact same thing. A man of God who rejected the very God who placed him in this situation, who placed him to worship him in this land of milk and honey given to him. Everybody at this time lived Proverbs 14:12, which was repeated in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. They trusted themselves to be right without God's wisdom, and they followed their own hearts. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, "That's the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked." As Doug always often says, or Jiminy Cricket says, follow your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. Not good advice if you don't have the Word of God instructing that conscience. They were God and king unto themselves. As Judges 17:6 says and repeated in Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. There was no king to control fleshly lusts. There was no fear of God to control the spirit. Just the imagination of their hearts, which after the flood, God said, only thought of evil continuously. Trust me, they're no different than we are. We are the same people that they talk about. We see the results of Gibeah if there's no righteous people. There was one compromising righteous man in Sodom. The angels came to provide a way of escape. The men came to rape the angels. Lot foolishly offered his daughters to try to placate them that shame wouldn't come to their house. The angels stopped the man, and the evil was stopped. God delivered Lot and his daughters. God allowed his wife to leave and only turned her into a pillar of salt when she wistfully looked back and desired to have the old life rather than following the God who had rescued her. Sodom and Gomorrah were then destroyed. In Gibeah, there were no righteous men. Levites sold their services and practiced idolatrous worship. Forgetting Joshua's God, Israel served Balaam to hold their standing with their pagan societies. They would take their pagan societies, which they were told to destroy because of their sinfulness, they would put them under tribute for profit. God not being pleased, would then make it, pagan societies would be strong, would take over. Israel would then cry. God would provide a judge to deliver them. And Israel would follow God for a while, but then would turn back to their old pernicious ways of turning their back on God. And each cycle took Israel a little bit farther away from God until they had this horrible act. We see the same scenario here as in Sodom and Gomorrah. Gay activists demanding male guests be given to satisfy the most ungodly physical lusts imaginable. The man of his house offering his daughter and the Levite's concubine to placate those lusts. But the results were different. No king, no God, no faith in God to provide a way of escape. The Levite forced his wife into the crowd, not to protect another. At least Lot did that. He only did it to save his own skin. And unlike Sodom, the men abused her so badly that she ended up being dead in the morning. Sodom and Gomorrah were judged for countenancing sin. Benjamin was judged when, as a tribe, they did not come to get these people. They should have destroyed them. By the law, these people were worthy of death. But the tribe sought to defend their actions instead, going so far as to justify their actions by protecting them against all the rest of Israel who wanted to judge that sin. Not for worshiping God, just for the fact that they did not like what happened. Society was judged for its failure. Eventually, Israel was judged for doing worse than even Sodom. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 47 to 52. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 47. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done. She, not her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. At least the Levite saw the evil of the action, and as he called for vengeance against Gibeah. Benjamin didn't. Benjamin decided to defend him instead. Now, it wasn't the fact that Benjamin had homosexual sin in her tribe. Make no mistake, every society on earth has sin in the area. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the fact that they tried to defend it. They tried to justify it. They tried to make it that they were more righteous than others. They saw no need to rebuke, reprove, or judge the action of such vile sinners, but instead justified them. But going against God's law, which was a way of death, ended up giving them the judgment they deserved. So we see what happens when godly people go against God's law. I mean, these are God's chosen people. It was a tribe, one of the tribes of Israel. How about today? Looking at these societies from the past, we're certainly more righteous than they. But God gave us, Paul says God gave us these examples for us, what we can learn from them. Certainly we wouldn't follow these pernicious ways. We are a Christian nation with Christian morals, after all. Certainly, we would not follow anything like this. But just as God's people failed in the Old Testament, the church is failing in the United States today. We are falling into the same trap, and if we don't watch it, we will follow the same judgment. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 22 to 32. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Sounds like Fox News, doesn't it? Now, Lot tried to placate the Sodomites with his daughters. The angels intervened and smote those who came to the house with blindness. At least Lot, acting foolishly, was trying to protect others. The Levite did placate the Sodomites with his own wife, abusing her so badly that that woman died. The supposed godly man forced his wife to go just to save his own flesh. Now, we are now placating the gay movement any way we possibly can. Gay marriage and adoption is now legal and blessed in very many churches. Schools are teaching our children a perverse lifestyle as acceptable and even superior to God's ways. Churches proclaiming sodomy is blessed and honored by God. No need to embrace to honor the God that is still speaking and now accepting them. Christians losing jobs and businesses for standing for their thing. Militaries are now paying for sex change operations. Cities are celebrating the vilest perversions and gay pride parades with leaders, the mayors, proudly marching with them, showing the truth of Romans 1:32. Our government naming the month of June Pride Month, making laws against counseling people to leave a gay lifestyle, professing themselves to be wise, we have become fools, and saying that God is still speaking and he's changed his mind from his word, and we can now change the way we operate because we feel like it. The way that seems right unto a man, those ways end up in death. Make no mistake, homosexuality is not the sin that brings judgment, but it is one of the most visible evidences of a society given over to a reprobate mind that has turned its back on God. Ezekiel 16 and Romans 1 display many sins that a reprobate society has. And every one of those leads to judgment. But when the reprobate mind comes in full, you'll see those sins in every area of the town. And you'll see those sins, every one of those sins, happening. Read Romans 1 again when you get home. And you'll see, if you compare that with what you see in the evening news, they're all there. And they were all there in Benjamin, and they were all there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Given a reprobate mind, the godless, rebellious society goes against all that is holy, and its flesh goes to strange flesh. The strangest flesh from God's plan is same-sex flesh. We may not be allowing homosexual gang rapes yet that we just read about in Sodom and Gomorrah last week and Gibeah this week. But pretty soon, we're going to see things get worse. This sermon I'm giving right now is hate speech. No question about it. It will soon be illegal around the whole world. I will soon be, if I give this sermon, thrown in jail because I'm going against what is right, just, and holy in society's eyes. The Family Research Council has put out a very long report on homosexuality in your child's schools. A few points. Teacher training activists lobby for opportunities to present pro-homosexual propaganda to teachers and administrators through mandatory training sessions. Exploring the website, however, one finds the principal evils they seek to overcome are not harassment or violence, which are good things to overcome, but homophobia, and heterosexism. Homophobia is a term that stigmatizes those with traditional values by implying that they, not the homosexuals, are the ones with a mental illness. Heterosexualism, the belief that the heterosexuality and a binary gender structure are the norm, is now classified with the ideological systems that deny, denigrate, and stigmatize people as something to be undone. Make no mistake, I'm not homophobic, I'm not afraid of them. I don't hate them. In fact, I love them so much to show them it's a sin, like any other sin, like I'm a sinner. And if they repent from that sin, they will be gloriously saved. But that is considered hate speech nowadays. In North Carolina, parents found out that they had a class on a new gay teenager which encouraged students to question their own sexuality and biblical teachings against homosexuality. What happened to the separation of church and state? Spencer, Texas and Bedford, Massachusetts call for cross-dressing days for elementary students. This is a good one. A Christian club in Ann Arbor, Michigan was banned from a panel discussing religion and homosexuality. Wouldn't want to get the truth in there mixed up with someone else. The parents of a kindergarten student in Lexington, Massachusetts were upset when their son came home from school with a book featuring same-sex couples. David Parker, the child's father, met with the principal to demand that the school would notify him and allow his child to opt out of discussions of homosexuality in the classroom, which was required by state law. He was instead arrested for trespassing and spent a night in jail, stripped of my shoes, my belt, my wedding ring, and my parental rights, as he later put it. Six months later, the criminal charges against Parker were dropped, but the superintendent continued to bar Parker from any school property. A couple other things. Homosexual rape is high and increasing in the military. Haven't heard that in the news, have you? Elaine Donnelly, the head of Center of Military Readiness, says it's continually getting worse. There's a gay student at the University of Texas that made a pass at one Tom Clocky who felt uncomfortable, told a classmate he was straight, and moved to a different seat after the classmate wouldn't stop looking at him. Rejected and filing a sexual harassment charge against Clocky, the gay accuser told university officials that Clocky had called him a faggot and threatened to kill him. Clocky maintained that he did no such thing, but the university sided with the accuser. Days after discovering that a finding of responsibility could prevent him from getting into grad school, Clocky committed suicide. Right now, we cannot imagine allowing or excusing gang rape like they did in Sodom or in Gibeah. Sodom wouldn't have countenanced either when Abraham saved them from Shemlamor and the kings of the plain. When he came and delivered them, Sodom, the king of Sodom, was very happy, went with him to see Melchizedek. I don't know if he gave tithes, but Abraham gave tithes, but there was no way that he would countenance that. It quickly got to the point where all of a sudden gang rape was considered acceptable in Sodom. We are now calling evil good and good evil. We are now told to question our sexuality and our biblical teachings. How far are we from excusing actions in Sodom and Gibeah? Think it's impossible? 3 years ago, who would have thought that North Carolina would receive such pain, such attacks, for saying that a boy should use a boy's bathroom and a girl should use a girl's bathroom and they ought to shower the same way? That's considered hate speech now. Consider it the other way. Why is this sermon considered hate speech? Because people want to live after their own lusts and go to churches that only support sinful lifestyles. Once again, is there any new thing under the sun? Solomon said no. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 to 14. Isaiah chapter 30, starting at verse 9. See how many churches have these people in them. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and say thereupon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. Israel was judged for its sins. They did not want to hear the truth because the truth made them uncomfortable. We are going to be judged for our sins because people do not want to hear the truth. The truth makes us uncomfortable. In ancient societies, pagan priests praised homosexuality and sacrificed children to Moloch. Our pastors do not preach God's words now, but have praised Planned Parenthood and ignored God's law. Baptist pastor Susan Chorley prayed to God for guidance, then had an abortion. There's a few problems I have with that. Our pastors now sow support of gay marriage and ignore God's law. Our judgment's just around the corner. So, what do we do with this? Rather tough sermon to prepare in this day and age. As a godless world continues to turn its back on God, we are sowing to the wind, and we're going to reap the whirlwind. God will judge us for our sin. So why give such a tough sermon? To prepare us for God's coming judgment. God has always given righteous people a way of escape. The question is, are you righteous? Are you one who will see and reprove and rebuke the sin that is in society? Lot was given a chance to escape the Zoar and into the caves. Faithful Israel was given the escape. They ended up serving pagan kings and being blessed under God's judgment because they stayed righteous. If God brings His judgment to the United States, where are we going to flee? Have you looked at the world lately? I'm not sure what country you go to. No, maybe that means He'll give us a way to escape with the rapture. Just take us right on out of here if we're righteous. What can we do in the meantime? We do not affirm gay lifestyles in order to fill the church pews. We preach the whole counsel of God. That includes, but is not exclusive to, the abomination of homosexuality. We realize we're not good people either. I'm not good. Greatest miracle on earth is they saved George Barber. God was able to save George Barber. But we realize we serve a good God. We serve a God that calls all people to Him. We serve a God that will accept anybody who repents. We show them His blood is still available to everybody. We show them salvation is available to anybody who calls out to Him. Do not downplay the Word of God in rebuking sin. If they don't see what they're doing is sin, how can they then repent from their sin? No? How can I see without a preacher? It says in Romans. They have to understand what sin is that they can turn their back from it. In doing so, we need to follow Ephesians 4:15 and speak the truth in love. Showing as the world reaps the wind, guess what? There's still shelter from the whirlwind. And that shelter comes from a living God, a loving God, a holy God, and an eternal God. And we bring them to the truth of His Word, which Isaiah 55:11 says, will not return void, allowing the Spirit to convict sinners of their sin and repent. You know, I've led a lot of people to the Lord. I've saved nobody. Because that's exactly what I do. I lead people to the Lord, show them the truth of His Word, let the Holy Spirit convict that person of sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts that person of sin, that person repents. When that person repents, God saves them. His ways haven't changed. They haven't changed. Man hasn't changed. God's way hasn't changed. We need to do the same thing that they did the old-fashioned way we just sang about. We are all hell-bound sinners, every single one of us. We are in a world of hell-bound sinners. But this is nothing new once again. There is still hope for them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 14. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and belly for the meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. We see that such were some of you. I can say the same thing in this church. How many of those sins apply to people in here? I don't know. But I guarantee you that every one of you were had some of those sins that would not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Such are some of the people out there right now. We show them the truth of God, God will gloriously save them. If we don't show them the truth of God, they can't know that they're sinners. If they don't know that they're sinners, they won't return to the cross. If they don't turn to the cross, God won't save them. So even as the world outlaws calling homosexuality a sin, let us obey God and not man. Proclaim his word, and then let him see, and let him save those people. Learn his word, love his word, teach his word, and give thanks to the God who by his word still saves sinners. He may give the righteous proclaimer a way of escape by the rapture, like I said, and rest assured, your labor is not in vain. We do the same thing that they did the old-fashioned way. And God will honor that, either as a way to save people or as a way to show that they had no excuse when they're in front of a holy God. They say, I'm not attacking anybody here. I'm a vile sinner. I don't deserve anything. God save me. We need to do the same thing. We need to call out what sin is and not countenance it to try to fill pews. If we have four people here before the rapture that are righteous, well, praise God. If we have 300 people here because God gives us revival, praise God. We need to be doing what God says. Then God will honor us. With that, we need to realize that just as God can lift us up, he'll lift them up, and we need to praise God for it. Turn to hymn 629, and we'll sing, Love Lifted Me. Why is the United States failing? Because churches have dropped the ball. Churches no longer call sin, sin. Churches try to call good evil and evil good, that churches can have some sort of political impact. That's not our job. Our job is to see souls saved. Our job is to proclaim the truth. Our job is to be righteous men in an evil society that maybe angels will come and deliver some people. You know, his ways haven't changed. His word is what saves. My judgment on anybody doesn't save anybody. God is the one who judges, not me. We need to proclaim his word, his truth, show what is sin, that people can then be, from the Spirit, see what sin is, will be convicted of that sin, repent from that sin, and turn to God. If we do that, God will bless our labors. I can't say how, but he will, because he's promised that in his book. Our labors are not in vain. Don't try to make excuses or anything. Just proclaim his word, because he's the one that saves, not you, not me, not anyone else. And make no mistake, a lot of those sins I talked about there in Ezekiel and 1 Corinthians, I was guilty of. Some of them still am. Praise God, I serve a great Savior. So we must remember that. We are in a society that's turned its back on God. So there's no new thing under the sun. What happened to Sodom, what happened to Gibeah, is happening in the world today. It doesn't surprise me. It saddens me, but it doesn't surprise me. And we know it has to happen because the Bible predicts it. So let us stay righteous, let us stay holy, let us stay with his word, and let us teach others his truth that we may see him saved. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer silently. Ask God to search your heart. See if you've been trying to follow the world, and if so, ask God to give you wisdom to know how to handle these evil times. And then after Jeannie plays a beautiful verse, I'll close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, Paul showed us who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Lord, he could have put my name in there. Such were you, George Barber. And Lord, love did lift me. I saw my sin by your word. I repented of my sin by your word. And I'm still a great sinner, but I serve a great Savior. And that is true for every one of us here, Lord. Lord, it's not the fact of the sin that bothers me so much. It's the fact that we've turned our back on a loving God. Lord, let us proclaim your truth. Give us the wisdom. Give us the strength to give your truth, your holy words, to hearts ready to receive them, to hearts ready to repent, to hearts ready to return toward you. Let us see righteous men in these evil times, Lord, that angels can come to deliver, that are vexed by these societies, and call sinners out of it, Lord, that you may gloriously save them for your glory. And Lord, realizing that none of us deserve anything we've gotten, but you, by your love, have lifted us. And by your love, let us show your word to a lost and dying world, that by your love you may lift them also. Lord, if there's anyone here who is not lifted, who is in the morass of this society, who is still reaping the wind, sowing the wind, about to reap the whirlwind, today be the day that they be saved. Let today be the day they see their sin, repent from their sin, and be gloriously saved. We ask all in your precious Son's name. Amen.